What a beautiful day it was on that crowded day. Jesus was coming, riding on a donkey, promised in Zechariah, and there the crowd would see those words that they had heard many times before, and singing Hosanna to the Son of David, not only calling him a king, but acknowledging that he is in the lineage of a king. And that same one who came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey will once again return. This time it will be no donkey, it will be a white horse crowned in glory with a crown on his head. And what a wonderful picture of that is there's a picture of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, but then there's going to be a picture of Jesus coming with the new Jerusalem. This morning we're going to look at a passage of scripture that comes right after that day that they, or the whole purpose that Jesus got a donkey together, was he was going to prepare the festival of the Passover, and he would ride that into Jerusalem to go to a place where he would gather with the disciples and share bread and the cup of wine, and also would do an act that would change the perception of Jesus for these disciples in a way that they much needed to be changed. They saw Jesus coming riding on the donkey. And this already made them think, this is not like any other king we've seen. As a matter of fact, the Bible said about King Saul that he was ahead above all the other people, that he stood out, that they wanted somebody who would go and fight before, for their battles, but now they're looking at Jesus who looks like them. Not only looks like them, but serves them, and is kind and compassionate, and considers their words, considers what they're saying. And so this whole perception of what a king ought to be is really being challenged, especially amidst the Roman Empire, where they've seen nothing but a image of power and control that has almost made a king detestable. But now Jesus has come to challenge that even more. And so he would go and he would begin to show them a new practice, a new way, and really disrupt what they thought about a king. And it's what we're going to read here this morning in John chapter 13. The Bible says in John 13:1 that he, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Can we just take a moment and read that, just a side note this morning? He loved them to the end. There's one thing that you and I can ever be sure about, is that Jesus loves us. He doesn't just love us when we want him to love us or when we think he loves us. He loves us to the end, all the way, always, 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 he loves us. So the devil had already decided that Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, would betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from supper and took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He then goes in to have a conversation with Peter, which we won't focus on that this morning. But we see this act of Jesus taking up a towel and washing dirty disciples' feet. Feet that had walked these streets, the feet that had just come through the crowd of people, and which was a common practice for the host to wash the feet, to provide water. But here Jesus is, the one who was just being praised as the King of Israel, is now washing their feet. And not only that, but the Bible tells us that somebody is in the presence of these disciples whom is a problem. You ever know about a problem? His name is Judas. Judas is a problem. Judas was going to be a big problem. Judas was going to be the one who we would see in later chapters who would end up betraying Jesus for a bag of silver. But yet we see something happen here that is absolutely radical. Any other king that had come before them, you betray that king, guess what happens to you? You're dead. There's not a chance you're living. There's not a chance your life goes on. There's not a chance you're going to even sit in my presence any longer. Out with him right away. I mean, just look at history. You talk about betrayals that happened, and there was no tolerating of that. But there's something different about Jesus. He's a different king. Here's a different king that now Judas is among them, and now Jesus is about to do something that would challenge everything that these disciples would think. And so this morning, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about serving Judas. Serving Judas. Jesus knew very well when he picked up that towel and washed Judas's feet that Judas would soon betray him. Judas would soon not only betray him, but would be the one responsible for handing him over to be crucified, to die a death for all of us. Jesus knew that very well. But yet Jesus still served Judas. And this is a principle that is deep today. This is one that you cannot find on earth. This type of love, this is unfamiliar on earth. This is not something you see every day. This is not something that is even smiled upon. But this type of love, oh, it is radical. And it's the type of love that only comes from heaven because God is love. And what you're going to see this morning as we're talking about serving Judas is that Jesus served Judas not because Judas deserved his love, not because Judas deserved the time of day of Jesus, but because Jesus is love. God is love. And because it's his very nature, you cannot stop it. It just goes forward. There is something about the love of God. It is like a tsunami wave. You cannot change it. You cannot stop it. It just goes. It doesn't choose. It doesn't pick out. It just goes forward because he is love. And if God is love, then he has to love everyone. Then he has to embrace everyone, or else he couldn't be love. Then he would be the chooser. Then he would be able to pick and choose whom he loved. But that isn't the nature of God. The very nature of God is love. And God loves even his enemies. God loves even your enemies and my enemies. God loves the people, wait a moment, who have done us wrong. Oh, you think for a moment, I like me. Lord, they did me. Look what they did to me. And now I'm having to suffer with all of this. And to God, what is that to him? Yeah, but I still love them. As a matter of fact, Judas would later on show up in the garden with the people who would arrest Jesus. And the first thing that Jesus would say to Judas is, friend, friend. Now, how do you call the person who's betraying you friend? How do you call the person who has done you wrong, betrayed you, hated you, is all the things against you that you could possibly imagine? How do you call them friend? Oh, that's a type of love we don't understand. That is a type of love that only is from heaven. God is love. But it's so important because we are living in days now where we feel justified for only loving people who are nice to us. But when the moment that somebody does wrong, oh, wait a minute, I'm not talking to you. I'm not helping you. You want me to let you in? Forget about it. I'm going right through. That's what we look for. We want to love people when it's accommodating. When it's accommodating to us. When it's good, convenient for us. But listen, Jesus dying on the cross was not convenient for him, but he did it anyways. He loved us. He loved us. And all of this to say is that loving people, oh, this has been like echoed to me so much lately from the Lord. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. Or we're going to see in a few moments. Or later on, earlier, he says this. The first commandment is this. The most important of them is all is what? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. All right. Now, the second commandment right underneath that is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus, wait a minute, hold on, you're telling me for a moment. Jesus, he didn't go through the Ten Commandments. He didn't say, do not steal, do not kill. He didn't go through the list. He said, just do this, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Because if you're loving people, you're not going to steal. You're not going to kill. You're not going to lie. You love them, right? love your neighbor as yourself. It's important. But it seems to be that we live in a day that is challenging, even believers. The Bible talks about in the last days in Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, that the love of many is going to what? Grow cold. And as love grows cold, it makes it harder to love people. It makes it harder to love people who have done us wrong, especially. And it makes it hard to just embrace people. But it's important that we love people. To Jesus, and I hope this morning you'll see, to Jesus, loving people is absolutely paramount. Yes, love Jesus with all of your heart. And if you love him, then you will love people, even our enemies. That challenges every fiber in our body because we have a nature that says, retaliate. Go back at them. They hit you, you better, come on, I'm ready to fight. Scrap, right? That's our nature. That's in us. But in Jesus, what was in him? Jesus, before he even got a moment, he didn't do anything. He picked up that towel, got right on his knees, and washed Judas's feet. Oh, that's a different type of love. You can't buy that love. And truthfully, you can't like work that up in you. That comes as a gift of the Holy Spirit working inside of us. If I can speak in the tongues of men and angels, if I can do all the wonderful things, but if I don't have love, I gain nothing, the Bible says. It's important. So what was the kicker here? Well, we see, we're going to read here in the next part in verses 12 through 19. After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and he reclined again and he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Now, it is practiced in many, many places that it is a common thing to wash feet as a spiritual practice of the church. But this is deeper than that, just an act. It's not just something we do to check it off the box and say, well, I washed somebody's feet. That it challenges the core of who we are as spiritual beings, and that's what Jesus is doing. And he's about to tell them, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but it is to fulfill the scripture. The one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. And I tell you this now, before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. So what Jesus is saying, in other words, is there's about to come a moment. You're going to see what I'm talking about. All this is going to unfold. You're going to see Judas. He's going to come with the mob. They're going to come arrest me. And you're going to see that. And so then he goes in to tell them, we're going to look at verse 26, 27. And Jesus answered, they were asking, who is the one who betrayed you, is going to betray you? And they says, it is the one whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, sign of Simon Iscariot. And after he had received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, do quickly what you are going to do. And the last verse we're going to read. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So a few things we're going to look at here. Verse 13, I've set you an example. Verse 15, I've set you an example. Wash one another's feet. Serve one another. Bless one another. Love one another. The thing that you'll notice here that Jesus does is he comes to all of these disciples. He comes to not only Judas, but he comes to Peter, who would also flee and would deny him. And all the other disciples would do the very same thing. And Jesus has already told them that this is going to happen. They're all going to run away. But what is Jesus doing here? He's washing their feet. You know, the thing about serving one another is there's no qualifiers. This is what Jesus shows us first. There's no qualifiers for the love of God. Jesus didn't look at Peter and size him up and say, yeah, I think maybe I should wash your feet too. He just did it. And a lot of times when we have to think about loving somebody, it's a qualifier. We're trying to reason, is there a justifiable reason to love somebody? That's not what Jesus does. And that's not how the love of God works. The love of God is not merited. It is not earned. You don't do anything to get God's love. God is love. He loves you because that's his nature. And so if we are going to be the distributors of that love, then we also have to get rid of this thinking that people have to meet a certain standard or come up to some type of place in order for me to serve them. That's not how Jesus works. Jesus loves people, period. No qualifiers. Isn't it good news to you and I that he didn't measure us up and decide, well, I died for all those other people, but I didn't die for you because of this, this, and this. No, that's not how it works. For God so loved the world, he loved all people. There's nobody that is exempt from God's love. Let me say that again. There's nobody that is exempt from God's love. Every person, God loves them. If they were created by God in the image of God, God formed them and knit them together, God loves them. God loves them, every one of them. And we now are living in days where people, they are deciding, well, do I like you before I help you? But that's not how Jesus works. Jesus says, I love you because I am love. Love is in me. And this same love, listen, believers, you and I, God has promised this same believer can flow to you and I. And if it isn't flowing to you and I, then it requires us to stop and say, Holy Spirit, fill me with the love of the Father in my heart. To love people, not based upon how they look, not based upon how they act, not based upon what they smell like or what they come to me like or how they talk to me. None of those things matter to God. God is love. And we live in a world that is full of hate. We live in a world that is always looking for a reason to deny somebody love. Always looking for some type of excuse to say, should you be lovable? Listen, there's only one judge, and he loves us. Loves all of us, all of us. There's no qualifiers. The days of loving people, that being easy to love people, listen, they are fading quickly. Come on, let's just be honest. How many of you had a bad experience this past week somewhere in public? A lot of us, right? It's just a reoccurring thing, the nature of our society. It's the decay of society because of sin. And God isn't calling us to be pleasant to people because they're pleasant to us. God is calling us to love people. Love people. They had a bad day and they're just cursing you out because you cut in front of them and you didn't mean to and blah, 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 blah. And all that should come out of our heart, listen, I know this is hard and I'm preaching to myself, is love. Is love. It's the truth. It should be love that comes out of us. Take a sponge and squeeze it. When you put it in water, what comes out of it? Water. You put the love of God in us and you squeeze us, what should come out of us? The love of God. It should be the nature of who we are. Love, no qualifiers. Serving people. Serving not just any people, but all these disciples who would leave him, who would abandon him, who would reject him, who would deny him. All of them. Jesus, he didn't qualify. He just loved them. Now let's get to the hard one. Verse 18. Here he is. I tell you this, the one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. You know the thing that I find, there's two things that are remarkable about this. Number one, Jesus washes Judas's feet. But number two, Jesus gave him food. Here he is, they've been walking a long way into Jerusalem. Obviously, Judas is hungry. And Jesus did not stop serving Judas. Not only did he wash his feet, but he gave him food. He loved him. He loved him. Serving Judas is about learning to love even our enemies. And I know that is not a common thing to preach, but it is talking about loving people who have done us wrong, who have hurt us, who have betrayed us, who have spat at us, who have cut us down. All of that. Here's the thing we're going to see this morning. Unforgiveness glorifies self. When somebody does us wrong, and we hold onto it and we think, I'm right and you're wrong. What you're doing is you're glorifying the flesh. You're making the flesh glorified. You're honoring the flesh. But when you practice forgiveness, what you're doing is going against the flesh. You're going contrary. You're swimming upstream. And so what you're doing is in the process is by the help of the Holy Spirit is you're crucifying the flesh. So unforgiveness glorifies God or glorifies self. So that must mean that forgiveness glorifies God. When we love people without qualifiers and we love people who have even done us wrong. Listen, I know it's hard. It's hard. It's not in us. That's why it's hard. That's why it requires us to go before the Father and say, Lord, help me. You promised if anyone would ask the gift of the Holy Spirit, you'd give it. Lord, I need your help. I don't want to love them, but I know that you're calling me to love them. I don't want to forgive them. God, I know that you want me to forgive them. And it's not this whole thought that there's this teaching like, if I forgive them, then I'm liberated and they're still. That's not what it's about. It's not about building self up. It's about loving people. It's about being able to forgive because we love them. Now, I know that's not common, so good job, Charlie. That was good. Right? It's because God loves them. And if God loves them, you and I, we ought to also do this as Jesus said. I've set you an example that you ought to love one another. Luke chapter 6, Jesus was teaching about forgiveness and unforgiveness. And he tells them this, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Wait a minute, Jesus, you're telling me that there's some type of credit for loving people who hate me. That's what the Bible says. For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the who? Ungrateful and the wicked. Wait a minute. You're telling me I gotta love the ungrateful and the wicked? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you know the Bible tells us, musicians are gonna come. The Bible tells us, I was just reading this and I didn't plan on putting this in here, but I just was happy to read it in my regular reading and I thought, this is so encouraging to me. The Bible talks about in Revelation, and there's all these beautiful things that are happening throughout the book of Revelation. The Bible talks about that in this preparation of the marriage supper of the Lamb, there's this rejoicing that happens when there's victory over the dragon and the beast, and now the marriage supper of the Lamb is being prepared. And the Bible says that when the bride came, the bride is the church, that's all of us, that's you and I. Bible says that to her, it has been granted to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. That's good. The church is going to be clothed with this bright. But listen to what the fine linen is made up of. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. I read that and I thought, you know what, Lord, to you, loving people has way more eternal significance than I ever thought. Because there's going to come a day that we are clothed, not just with a garment. We're going to be clothed with fine linen that is made up of the righteous deeds of the saints. Every time that you love somebody that was ungrateful, that's going to be in the fine linen. Every time you serve somebody that didn't want you to serve them, that's going to be in the fine linen. It's going to make up the garment of heaven. Why? Why would God do that? Because it glorifies Him. It goes against everything of the enemy of this world has a hold on, gripping our hearts, hatred and division and all of those things. And when you go against that, those things glorify God. All of those things, God says, I'm proud to clothe the church in those things because they bring honor to Him. And it's this what Jesus is teaching here in Luke 6. You love those who love you. What credit is that to you? But come on, love people, even sinners, even those who are ungrateful and wicked, and there's going to be a reward for you. It's going to be great. listen, trying to get a good judgment now on earth is not what it's about. Trying to get justice now for the person who has hated us and done us wrong is not what it's about. There's only one judge, and all of us will stand before that judge. But what you and I have been called to do is to love people all the way, so that when you and I stand before that judge, I can say, but Lord, I did what you called me to do. It wasn't easy, but I love them anyways. I love them because you gave me love, and because you love them. It's about serving Judas. It's the picture of embracing people that don't want to be embraced. I say all of this to say, as we've been saying over the past few weeks, we've got a mission to reach the lost. We've got a mission to proclaim the gospel, and this world is not welcoming of that. We will constantly, it is just decaying. It's becoming more opposed than ever before. But you and I have to become more determined. Serve Judas. Serve them. Serve people who hate us. Serve people who are our enemies. Love them and embrace them. You talk about love that covers a multitude of sins. Love somebody who hates you. Love somebody who's done you wrong. Love somebody who has put you down. But you say, but Jesus has lifted me up, and I love you anyways. That's the type of love God does. And you might say to me this morning, oh, I don't want to do that. That's not in me. I'm not going to do that. And you're resisting that, and you're fighting that, and whatever. You get it in your mind. But listen, this morning, all of us, we're in opposition to God. All of us at one time of our life, whether today or at some point in our life, opposed God. We said, I don't want what you have. I don't want forgiveness. I don't want the cross. And we spat in God's face. But yet God still chases after us. He's still running after us. And you talk about love. That is love. That's love. Love is not about easy accommodations, comfortability. It's not about that. Love expects nothing in return. It is freely given. Just give it. That's why Jesus told those disciples, freely you have received, freely you shall give. And my brother or sister today, maybe you're here this morning and there's somebody in your life that, listen, God knows they've done you wrong. God knows that. They've hurt you. God knows that. He knows that. What God is calling you to do is to trust Him. Trust Him with the unforgiveness. Trust Him with the hurt. And allow God to bring the healing that you need to love people. Because that one person who hurt you, who brought unforgiveness in your heart, is now inhibiting you from loving anybody else. And remember, a new commandment I've given you, Jesus said. Love one another. No, not just love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. Here he is. He says this. Just washing Judas's feet. Just washing Peter's feet. Just washing all these disciples' feet who love them. Love one another just as I have loved you. Oh, your reward will be great. God promises great reward. It's going to be a beautiful piece of thread in the fine linen that the church will wear. Oh, God, help us today. Would you stand with me this morning? Every eye closed. Can we just pause right where we're at? Listen, this morning, I know for a fact the enemy would love nothing more for you to just roll around in that unforgiveness and hurt. I know for a fact. He likes that you're holding onto it. He loves that. That satisfies the enemy, and he just wants you to keep. He'll keep bringing reason after reason in your ear why you should hold onto that thing. But what God is calling you to do is say, but won't you trust me? Won't you? I loved you. Won't you love them? Just when you think that you're the better person, God reminds us, oh no, we're all sinners. All, the Bible said, have fallen short of the glory of God. This morning, if this is for you today, you just feel God challenging your heart as God has challenged me. We have to love people. Don't be a dam against the tsunami wave of God's love that He wants to pour out through you. Just let the love go. Let it flow. God pouring love in you, let it flow through you. Don't stop it. Don't bottle it up. Just let it go. That's you this morning. Come this morning. We want to pray with you. Come stand today. Lay it down at the feet of Jesus. No more, Lord. I'm not carrying this no more. I'm going to hand it over to you. Lord, we thank you today. And God, as you've challenged my heart, oh, I've got to love people. I have to love even the Judases, Lord. And Lord, you loved him to the very end. And Lord, this morning, I pray love would fill our hearts afresh from heaven. Lord, would you give us love? Give us a supernatural love, Lord. Never allow us to look at anyone. Never allow us a situation to change how we feel about them, Lord. Remove every judgment that comes in our mind. Help us to never look down at somebody, but Lord, embrace them. Not only embrace them, but to serve them. To go the extra mile. When they sue us, give them not just what they sue us for, but more. When they hurt us, oh, not just give them one cheek, but turn the other as well. Oh Lord, that type of love, it's not here on earth, Lord. We know that. It's not practiced every day, Lord. We know this is uncommon. But Lord, this morning I'm praying, God, I need that love in me. I need that love in me, Lord. Oh Jesus, would you come? You were willing to go to a cross for me even when I said, I'm a sinner. I want to live in this. Lord, today fill our hearts with love. Fill us with love. Come on, before the choir sings, can you just make that a prayer today? Oh God, make us radical. Love people. Love people. Don't act like society. Don't act like culture. Don't act like the world. Just love people. Oh God, come today. Fill us with your love. Would you make it a prayer? Come on, out loud. Tell the Lord, fill me with your love this morning. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to find a reason to not love somebody. Just find a reason to forgive them. Just say, Jesus, you love me, I'll love them. Come on, lay it down. Don't hold on to it anymore. The enemy's using it to grip your life, to smother you. Let it go. Let God work in you. It's going to be greater if you just let it down. We thank you this morning. We thank you today. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the one who gives us victory. Hallelujah to the one who is love, who loved us even while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Praise God. Thank you for your love today. Thank you, Lord, this morning. As the choir sings, can we just rejoice in God's love today?